Let us now turn to the second letter of Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. Second letter of Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 12 and verse 17. Verse 17. We shall read verse 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 17 and 18. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? We are studying, making a study on 2 Corinthians, the second letter of Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, and we have been on chapter 12, and we are on part 31, and the title is Your Church Using Jesus for Gain? Is your church using Jesus for gain? Apostle Paul writes, did I make a gain of you? There was a time in the 16th century when the Roman Catholic Church was involved in the biggest religious scam of all times. The Roman Catholic Church maintains still today that salvation is only through the Church of Rome, and yet says that a person of other religions can be saved through whatever faith they follow. Now the point I want to make is that in order to provide this salvation to the poor sinners of the world, they went to the extent of selling indulgences. They sold salvation to make gain, to make profit for the church. Paul asks the saints in Corinth, did I make gain of you? Did I make profit of you so that I become rich and accumulate wealth? The scripture says, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, for we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that he, through his poverty, might be rich. Jesus, our very Master, our Lord and Savior, became poor, not to give us earthly riches, but to be rich towards God in grace and faith and abundance of good works. But the Roman Catholic Church sold indulgences to make gain of earthly riches. Now, please hear me till the end. Not only did the Roman Catholic Church do things against the Lord Jesus Christ, but today many Pentecostal and charismatic churches, which are part of the Protestant churches, they do the same. Besides, this kind of lust for gain was present even in the beginning of the Church of Christ. False teachers, seeing the opportunity opened up among Christians, entered in the Church of Christ to make gain. And we saw in our first reading in the book of Samuel how the sons of Eli did the same in the Old Testament. They did the same. They robbed people. They did immoral things. They were leaders in the temple. Therefore, the apostles warned that men who desired to be the leaders of the church should not be greedy. Should not be greedy. I'm going to read for you a few verses. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3, where he says that a bishop should not be given to wine, nor should he be a striker, not greedy or filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, in like manner, likewise, must the deacons be grave, not greedy, or filthy lucre. Titus chapter 1, verse 7, for a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not given to filthy lucre. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 and 3, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. You see those words, greedy, filthy lucre, covetous. What does filthy lucre mean? It means to be eager for base gain. To gain not only money, but any desire of the flesh. Greedy for food, greedy for sex, greedy to own houses and cars, to desire to have power over people or whatever your eyes desire. Now, we have seen people engaging themselves in selling holy water, miracle mud, miracle oil, prosperity handkerchief, and perhaps you know more about these things than I do. But let us begin with indulgences. What are indulgences? Indulgences are basically believed to be the forgiveness you will receive for your sins in purgatory. It will be cancelled. That punishment will be cancelled. Maybe your big mortal sins are forgiven, but there are those small, teeny-weeny sins for which you will have to spend certain time in a place called purgatory for your cleansing. It's a place between the earth and your final abode. So the Roman Catholics are made to believe that the Pope has been given the power by God to shorten their stay in purgatory. In fact, it is believed that the Pope is even empowered to give full, complete, plenary indulgences to those that will do what the Pope asks them to do. Now, before 500 years ago, if you had the money, you could buy these certificates which were blessed by the Pope. You could buy them while you are on the earth, alive. And by doing this, you could receive a certain amount of days of cleansing from purgatory. During those days, it was only for certain days, because the money had to be kept coming. If the Pope gives you full release from purgatory, then no more money will come in from an individual. If the Church gives full indulgences, then that person could not buy more. Not only can you buy these indulgences for yourself while you live, but you can also buy for your beloved departed one, who is already dead. You can lessen their days in purgatory. Oh, this is a jackpot. It is a never-ending business. Of course, they have no idea as to how many years each person remains in purgatory. But it continues to provide indulgences by telling the people to pray, or attend a conference, go to the Blessed Sacrament, read the scriptures for half an hour, recite a rosary, and so on. Now recently, even as the coronavirus came in, Pope Francis has authorized the granting of a plenary indulgence under specific condition to all the faithful who are victims of coronavirus. So if you have this virus, you will go straight to heaven without having to spend time in purgatory. Why? Because the Pope has cancelled it for you. And this offer is not only for the coronavirus victim, but also for their family members. It is also extended for health workers and all others who care for them, including who simply pray for them. And the icing on the cake of purgatory came on the 27th March 2020. The Pope said he will grant a plenary, full, complete indulgence to the faithful who watch or listen to his extraordinary blessing to the city and the world at 6 p.m. Rome time, Friday, 27th March. So you can see the power that the popes have over purgatory. After all, they invented it. They rule over it. Now, during the 16th century, the Catholic Church made a fortune by cashing in on people's hopes of a life in the hereafter, until an unknown monk called Luther wrote a letter of protest. They made fortune by selling indulgences and built St. Peter's Basilica. This was not the only way the Roman Catholic Church made money. One author writes, batteries of nuns would be paid to pray for the soul of some wealthy dead aristocrat. Gifts to the church were encouraged as useful collateral in the hereafter. Collateral means guarantee, security in the life hereafter. In this case, security or guarantee to escape punishment in purgatory. The same author says that the whole business model of the Roman Church was premised on selling salvation, as it were, soap powder, often in order to finance extravagant building projects. The Roman Catholic Church sent a loud and clear message to their laity that salvation was for sale. You could buy your salvation. Why am I telling you this? Is it because I'm personally against the Roman Catholics? No, dear friends, I could have been one of them. But for God's mercy and grace, He made me see the terrible error of such departure from the truth. Salvation was a name, but money had become their gain. The Lord Jesus Christ warned about the love of mammon. Mammon means money. Mammon means wealth and riches. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, said the Lord. This is a very serious warning. The word of God goes to say this in 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Look what all the love of money does. Look what all it does to those that serve wealth. One, they fall into temptations and a snare to sin. too, they fall into many foolish and hurtful lust. You have money, so you go and get what you desire, what you lust after. Money feeds the lust and makes it possible to fulfill the lust. 3, it destroys men temporarily here on earth, and it destroys men for eternity in hell. 4, the love of money is a root of all evil. And 5, it destroys your faith in God. You go away from the true faith and land up with many sorrows, ultimately in hell. So the Lord gives His guidance. He gives His command. Look at Luke chapter 12, verse 31 and 32. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God has prepared for those that will trust and obey Him a kingdom where there is peace and joy and contentment, where you will be a complete person, and prosperity and all that humans need to be perfect. The true church's focus should be the kingdom of heaven, not the earthly power, not the earthly wealth, and not the earthly wisdom. Therefore, the Lord God warns those that are rich. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. He warns through Apostle Paul, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And so Apostle Paul asks the Corinthian saints in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 17, did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? What does it mean to make gain of people? It means to take from another. It means to take advantage of another. To make profit of another. It means to defraud another. If it is given freely, that's fine. But over here, gain means to defraud another. Paul is meaning to say, did I make profit from you? Did I defraud you? Did I take advantage of your riches or poverty? And he points to Titus and Timothy and others whom he sent. Did they make gain of you? The answer is no. None of the apostles ever demanded money for salvation. Salvation is a free gift. Free gift. I once went to a temple to study what happens when people go to the priest who performs rituals. It was a Hindu temple. I was not in Christ then. It was way back in 1977. And in the temple was a blackboard, and on it was written the cost of different kind of rituals. For different ritual, there was a different price. There was an actual price tag to it. It was not a free will offering. Now, coming to the Roman Catholic Church, you got to pay to offer a Mass. There is a cost of a high Mass and different price for the low Mass. There is the Requiem Mass for the dead. Why are these Masses offered? It is offered to lessen the days in purgatory for those already dead. The indulgences were sold by the church to lessen the days of punishment in purgatory. But no one asked the question, but how many days and years will I be in purgatory? How many? So we can see that the church was making money from the rich and the poor by selling indulgences. Well, you may ask, what made people believe this lie? What made the whole Christian world, those highly learned and those illiterate of the 16th century believe, and before that, that they can get into heaven by money? Why is it that the theologians and priests who spent years studying philosophy and sociology and anthropology and theology and scripture continue even today to believe that they can get away and make their dead ones escape punishment of sins by doing what the Pope tells them to do? How can it be? By receiving a blessing of the Pope, or what he tells them to do, your punishment can be taken away. How can it be? By receiving a blessing of the Pope, your sins can be wiped away in an instant and send you straight to heaven, bypassing purgatory. Will the Pope pay for the punishment of people's sins? What about his own sins and punishment? The law that the Lord has established and revealed is, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. There is no forgiveness of sins unless a totally innocent person, a totally sinless person, takes the punishment of the sinful person. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became man in order to become the spotless Lamb of God to take away the sins of many. He suffered and died. He was wounded for our transgressions. His face was marred beyond recognition. He was nailed to the cross and died to pay our debts of sin. But the Pope today erases the punishment of your sins by simply waving his hands. He does not have to pay anything. He does not have to suffer for your sins. What makes people believe this? It is ignorance. It is spiritual darkness. It is having no faith in God and not knowing who and what God is. When superstition is put over the Word of God, the result is foolishness and wickedness. When money is put above the Word of God, the result is corruption and defrauding and lust ruling over the Spirit. It took just one man of God to destroy this whole powerful and wealthy and corrupt institution. God's word entered into one monk. God enlightened this monk to see the truth and grow in the knowledge of God's truth through his word. This ordinary monk put his faith in the shed blood, and only by grace and only by Christ Jesus and only by his word a person can receive salvation, and all this for the glory of God and for free. He put his word in Christ alone, in his word alone, in his grace alone, and by faith he received this salvation. This monk was Martin Luther. He exposed the lie of Satan. In 1517, 500 years ago, God used the revealed word of God to destroy the lies of Satan. God used the revealed word. Jesus clearly said, "My words are spirit and they give life." The word of God was preached. and translated in people's languages, and millions of people were delivered from the lie of Satan. The Lord tells us about the power of the Word of God. The Lord tells us that His Word has the power to give life, eternal life. The Lord has told us of all the benefits that the Word of God has. The Lord tells us that the Word of God is a sword given to us to fight evil and Satan. The Lord tells us that the Word of God gives salvation. The Word of God converts and enlightens and brings joy. Read Psalm 19. Read Psalm 119. Read the words of our Savior Jesus Christ. The Word of God is the Holy Spirit. So, in order to have the Holy Spirit, you must have the Word of God in you. And in order to have the Word of God, you must have the Holy Spirit. You cannot say, I have the Holy Spirit and He speaks to me. He will not speak to you, dear friend, without God's revealed Word found in the Bible. You cannot separate the Holy Spirit from the revealed Word of God found in the Bible. The revealed Word of God found in the Bible is filled with life of God. And you realize this when you are born again, when the Word of God becomes alive, where you could never understand what it means. What it means. What is the sense behind the Word? It comes alive. Dear friends, what happened in the Roman Catholic Church has happened to the Protestant Church beginning in the 19th century. In the 19th century, Satan came as the angel of light, convincing some men that it is the Spirit of God that you need, not the Word of God. The Spirit will tell you what to do and what to speak. The Spirit will tell you about the future, about the present. Your salvation depends on speaking in tongues of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the gift of tongues, you are not saved. Salvation now was measured or tested not based on the Word of God or on the commands of the Lord, nor by the fruits of the Spirit, but by speaking in unknown tongue of the Spirit. So the Christian world since the 19th century began to speak in the Spirit, dance in the Spirit, preach in the Spirit, heal in the Spirit, cast out devils in the Spirit. It was about living by the prompting of the Spirit. It was about God told me this and God told me that. God suddenly began to speak audibly to every man and woman. And parents even began to train their children to hear God's voice. They did not teach them the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, but they taught them to listen to God's voice. And some of them began to ask their little children to prophesy and to heal people. And all this in the name of the Holy Spirit. The Protestant Church, by and large, began to lose the Word of God. Once the Word of God was thrown out, music took over, dancing took over, singing took over, healing took over, prophesying took over. The Spirit became the head. God the Father and His Son was relegated to the second and third place. Charisma, the gifts were magnified. Self was magnified and the Word of God diminished. Instead of the Lord Jesus Christ, ministries became a household names. Benny Hinn ministry, Kenneth Copeland ministry, Oral Roberts ministry, Morris Cirillo ministry, Peter Popoff ministry. He became bankrupt at one time and literally popped off, but made a comeback. There is also Creflo Dollar. He owns 2 Rolls Royce, a private jet, and high-end real estate such as a $1 million home in Atlanta, a $2.5 million home in Demarest, New Jersey. There are hundreds of them, small and big, making big money. The Roman Catholic Church is immersed in Petra dollars. Now, Peter, Petra dollars. And the likes of Creflo Dollar is immersed in petrodollar. That is petrol dollar. Prayers are offered for money. Healing is offered. Donations are collected. Prosperity is offered for money. I was a new convert to Christ. I attended one church in Bangalore, India. This was maybe in 1989. And this man never stood on the pulpit. He preached walking the whole length of the church. And at one point he said, if you don't put money in the offering bag, if you don't give your tithes, you may meet with an accident and die on the way. Most of the Christians who follow these frauds are in a state where the Roman Catholic Church was 500 years ago. These fraudsters are for gain. They are for gain. The Roman Catholic Church used relics of the dead like bones, hair, nails, blood, and so on, and said, these have the power to heal, to drive away plagues, to make you prosper. This religion allured people to venerate these bones or a piece of cloth or something that Jesus or the saint had touched. Today, the Protestant, Pentecostal and charismatic churches use the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and these leaders bless the oil and bless their handkerchiefs and even give you a holy kick, all with payment. I always wondered as to why the Roman Catholic Church accepted a movement which began in the Protestant Church in the 19th century. Why did they accept it? By 1960s, it was in the Roman Catholic Church, the charismatic movement. They, of course, studied this Pentecostal charismatic phenomena and said, this is exactly us. They have become like one of us. Let us embrace it. It helped them to take one step forward in the ecumenical movement. They venerate living charismatic leaders. We venerate dead leaders, their bones and all. What does it matter as long as we get what we want? Today, many Pentecostals and charismatic leaders have joined hands with the Pope. It is the same with many evangelicals. They too have joined hands with the Vatican. Now the place where the bones or hair or the tongue or the nails of a certain saint were venerated, that place became a pilgrimage center. And so people flocked, and thus flowed money into the church. And this continues even till today. Dear friends, we cannot blame the con man if clients are freely available to be skinned. The con man's business is to deceive, to cheat, to lie, and fool people. Who must be cautious? The people. God has given the guidelines. God has exposed these con men in His book, the Bible. So who is deceived? Those that do not read the Bible and receive instructions from God. indulgences and the things that go on in the Pentecostal and charismatic circles are totally alien to Christianity of the Bible. Totally alien. The work of the Holy Spirit is to point to Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Not to the relics, not to the healers or prophets, not to the ministries of certain men, not to the numbers gathered, nor to the huge buildings of worship, but to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me point a few scripture passages before I come to an end. Jesus told His disciples in John chapter 16, verse 13, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself." Did you hear that? "He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you." He will receive what of Mine? The Holy Spirit will obviously receive Jesus' words. These words are now written down forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but My word will never pass away, said the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan is afraid of Christ's word, the word of God, which is inspired, which is revealed. You see, Jesus inspired the apostles and revealed to them His will through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In the Gospel of John, it is written, John 2, verse 22, "When therefore He was risen from the dead, His disciples remembered that He had said this unto them, and they believed the Scripture and the word which Jesus had said." What did they believe? The Scriptures. They believed what was written. Jesus tells them in John chapter 14, verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." You hear that? "I will remind you the things I have said to you," so that it will not be something alien, something different from what the Lord Jesus Christ has already spoken. They will always be able to say, "Oh yes, I remember Jesus spoke about this." So they wrote it down for others to hear. Even Jesus did not speak of His own thoughts when He was a man. John chapter 7, verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine, My teaching is not Mine, but His that sent Me. If any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of Myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." Oh dear friends, we are in the 21st century. Many things have happened during these 2000 years of Christian history. Many fake Christians have come and gone and continue to come. They come with a new label, but it is the same medicine. If your eyes, your mind, and your heart is not in the Word of God, the written Word of God, you will never be able to detect the counterfeit Christian leader. And I finish with this. Always remember, a false teacher, an anti-Christian leader, a deceiver will always distract you from reading the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. He will always stop you from reading the Bible. He will insist not to read any other material except what He tells you to read. He will make you put your trust in Him, in His institution, or in some other objects. He will even go to make changes in the Bible, as some of them have done, some cults have done. Many of them find justification to their teachings and deeds in the Old Testament. He will be greedy, lustful, making a gain of you. He will show that He has a special power. Now, some people may not try to gain from you anything, but they will show that they have special power. He will move your attention from the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ upon Him and upon what He is teaching and upon maybe some objects. Dear friends, read the Bible and trust the Lord's way. Do not allow anyone to deceive you and cheat you and destroy your soul. Shall we pray?